Okay, how about today? Good morning. Good morning. You want music behind my whole message? I'm not enough. I'm not a good stand-up alone act. Good morning. Oh, look how beautiful you are. It's so wonderful to be here and see you all today. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I am indeed the spiritual leader of this community. And oh my goodness, that was lovely. There are a couple of interesting things that happened in the middle of it. And in spite of all of that, you guys really are so awesome. Thank you. Thank you. We love Point of Light. We love Point of Light. We love that you brought the happy song back. We haven't done the happy song in a long time. And last Friday, a week ago Friday, I think, we did it at the talent show. So anyhow, welcome, welcome. I have a message to deliver this morning that goes right along with our theme. We're looking at this idea of seeding our future, living in the flow. And last week we got anchored, we got really grounded in this concept of this divine source that we're calling the fountain. And I created this image of to help us remember that there's this fountain, this divine fountain that's always flowing, and we can always turn to it and tap into it again. And I created this image in my own mind, and then I shared it with everybody that was here, that it's like in the ancient days, the village would be around the well, and the well was not just the kind, like a wishing well with a bucket, but it was this big carved out area that actually had stairs, and that two or three people could enter at the same time to get their water, and that it's this great big bubbling, moving givingness of life. It's a symbol for the source of all of life, and spirit itself. We say that God is that ongoing givingness, that the grace of God is always streaming and pouring into our lives, and that our job on this path, our job as spiritual students of the universe and life, is to just study that stuff and to figure it out and to learn it a little bit more. And so because we are in our stewardship month, our campaign, we're talking about being in the flow. We start with source, and today we're stepping into a conversation about this healing stream that Eric Butterworth so beautifully addresses in the second chapter. Reverend Clyde will be starting you on a journey today, and you'll go to that first week and look at that. But I'm speaking today from that second part, the healing stream. And what that means is that I will have a bit of a focus today on the way that health and healing work in connection with that same divine source, that same idea of flow that is really what all of this is all about anyhow. And so I found a quote from Dr. Ernest Holmes. I like as best I can to find a quote so I at least speak to the idea of Ernest Holmes, the founder of this part of New Thought, this little corner of the world. And Dr. Holmes said these words regarding that healing stream. It is only as we experience good that God is expressed through us. It is only as we experience good that God is expressed through us. The more completely we realize this good in all of its manifest expressions of wealth and health and happiness, the more completely we express God. So I love that idea. I mean, this is really kind of the core message of all spiritual teachings, I suppose, but certainly for us. That we know that we experience good to the extent that we realize it, to the as much detail as we can embody an understanding of it. And that's why we talk about it. That's why we have classes and we teach about it and we bring it to the forefront of our minds so we can always be reconfiguring and sort of expanding our idea of what God is, and therefore how spirit shows up in our life. And so when Holmes said, I love that he says, the more completely we realize that good in all its manifold expressions of wealth, health, and happiness, I love that he named health, wealth, and happiness. So the more we, the manifold is the many ways, the varied ways, the multiple ways, such pretty language that we don't use as much anymore, but a great word, the manifold of expressions, the multiple expressions of wealth and health and happiness, then the more we show that up, that shows up in our life, the more that we are actually expressing God, the more that we have opened ourselves to be a vessel to allow Spirit to sort of use us, that we become the vessel. We become that which Spirit can now, we can be the hands and the voice and the heart and do the work that's ours to do. I also like that we realize with real eyes. You know, that inner seeing. We tap into an understanding of the indwelling God when we're having that inner experience. So I looked up that word manifold because I love words. I mean, doesn't everybody love words? I love words. And the actual definition of a manifold said that it's a pipe branching out into many openings often found in car engines. So I was thinking, I know nothing about the manifold of a car. But that part where it says pipes branching into lots of openings and going in different directions gave me a vision of something that my children played with when they were little. And I was thinking, I wonder if they still make this. They should if they don't. It was so fun. I'm not sure my kids enjoyed it, but doggone it, we had fun with it. And it was one of those, it wasn't like, it based on the idea of like Tinker Toys, but they were plastic tubes that were bright colors and you could fit them together and they had these thingies that held them in place, you know? And so, like, when I get the idea of the manifold, I see that the pieces that, what word am I looking for? Somebody help me out here. The joints, yeah, the elbows of the joints. So they would have multiple ways you could put other pipes in there, and the kids could make, or the adults, could make these great, natural designs of how the flow can go and how we direct the flow in our own lives. And so we're talking about structuring things to move in lots of directions. That was kind of the main point that I was getting and thinking of as I was writing this. And life has to be like that. We're talking about a healing stream, a movement of life. We're talking about the perpetual movement and activity of God itself. This is the universal flow of wholeness. I think I got that term from the Butterworth book, the universal flow of wholeness. So let's go back to that idea. The more we realize it, the more we embody it, the more we understand it, the better that it can express through us, and we can then have an experience of that divine flow. Because that's how life works. We've been talking about that for a few weeks. Congestion, bad. Flow, good. And I think that it's sort of logical that when we begin to look at anything that we want to utilize, you have to come to understand how it works first. If I recently bought a new, Sue Witter made me do it, I didn't want to. I bought a new steamer. I was thinking about buying a new iron because I haven't ironed in 100 years, but I had a couple things that, and I didn't even know where that stuff was. I said, I'm gonna buy an iron. And you know what, I think I'm gonna buy a good iron. And Sue said, no, you need a steamer. You don't want an iron. So I promise you, it was a Sunday morning, not that long ago, she brought her steamer to church, and we ironed things in my office after service. It was great fun. So I went home and I Googled it and I bought it because I thought, oh, I have to have one of those in my life. But before I could figure out how to use it, I had to read the instructions, right? She showed me, she demonstrated. I bought exactly the one I brought exactly the one you showed me. And now I have to learn to use it. Right? I have to embody an understanding of how the thing works. And the more I understand it, the better it's going to work for me. And that's just life. Think about your computer. Think about your smartphone. You notice that you get anytime you upgrade your phone, there's this terrible learning curve. Somebody was having a learning curve this morning. I heard it while you were singing. Somebody was having a learning curve. Somebody's phone went off. So there's that great way that we don't, we aren't smart. I love that part about the smartphone. Doesn't make me feel very smart, especially when it's new. But we learn it. We understand the process of how it works, and then it functions well because we can then sort of direct the flow of the good we use in our life. Think of everything you don't know about your home computer. Just think of everything it's capable of doing for us, but see, we can't even think of it because we don't know. And so until we get curious, we will not stretch our capacity to take in more knowledge. And we all understand that. You know, you sit next to somebody that's got a little skill in Excel, and I know nothing in Excel, and I want to know how they did that because I can see that's a program I could benefit from. And so that's the stuff we're talking about when we speak to this idea of the more good you realize, understand, learn, embody, the more use you're going to get out of it. So I want us to apply that today to this idea of flow, especially in terms of healing or keeping our physical being in a state of well-being. We're looking at health and healing. And I think that this perspective is tricky. Because when we don't feel well, if you have physical pain in your body, if you have congestion, when you don't feel well, you sort of get all consumed with how not good you feel your aches and your pains, and you're kind of it's hard to get away from that because it's so personal, because it's so immediate. So the problem is when we don't feel good, then that dampens our attitude. We often are not very cheerful about moving through life when we're uncomfortable in our body for some reason. And when our attitude is down, it impacts our mood, your whole countenance, and then you walk through life almost a little heavier, and in addition to that, you find that your thinking is influenced by your thoughts and your attitude and your backache or your congestion or whatever it is, and you are now creating ideas and beliefs that the laws of life are responding to. What you focus on is what you get more of. When you're in pain, it's really tricky not to be all consumed with pain. And I think we all know that. Now, here's the metaphysical upside down part. Not the upside, here's where we turn this and we kind of dump it on its head, and we miss some really valuable point when we do this. We are all, assuming you're not too new to metaphysics or to spiritual application of body-mind, the body-mind connection, I don't remember what I was going to say. That doesn't happen very often. We use metaphysical guilt. If you don't feel good, you start to think, why am I not feeling good? Or why did that accident happen? Or why did that relationship, why did that argument happen? And we start digging into the why, which unfortunately creates a way we're digging deeper into the problem. And then we use that information against ourselves or against other people. So on one hand, we're good studied metaphysicians. We want to figure out the why so we don't do it again. But what we're missing is that the why is keeping us in the problem. And so there's this whole other way that I want to look at today where we can learn to stand in the healing stream and see where there's some biblical instruction here that most of us have heard, but we haven't quite figured out how to apply it yet, that will help us to get right side up. So if you do notice, you know, the thing is, when we do why, when we go, why did that happen? How come I got sick, you know? And you can find, oh, I'm pushing myself a little hard and stuff's going around. We begin to blame. Do you notice that all those thoughts are blaming something, either yourself, which is so unkind and so unloving. It is so contrary to what we try and teach in this sanctuary, in this idea of new thought. We're looking to stand in that healing stream. And so the first thing I want to invite you to do is to stand in that healing stream with me and heal all that old metaphysical BS belief system, the old belief system of that, where we feel guilty or we think we've done something wrong. It is no longer a time period where if you catch the flu, you have to hide away until you get well because somebody might have a judgment about you. Why did you catch that cold? Why did that happen to you? So we don't do that anymore. We don't teach that. We don't, and we certainly don't recommend it. So let's heal that old belief. You want to help heal that old belief? Yeah, let's get over that so we can really get in the healing stream and let the goodness shine from us. Remember in the 60s and the 70s, not you guys that are young, but for some of us in that were really coming into this way of thinking, if you weren't already there, they were starting to publish all these great books on the body-mind connection. And the term they used a lot was psychosomatic a disorder. You could have a psychosomatic disorder. People would get so offended if you said that because then you would just want to defend yourself. Like, it's not all in my head. But it sort of is, you know. You get to study in this stuff. We understand where there's some helpful guidance there, but it's not a criticism. What was happening is we were getting newer information that validated what we have believed and what the classical metaphysicians believed forever, and that is that the stuff, the difficult stuff in life, our challenges can stress us and can then create an environment in our physical being where we are more prone to things like, let's just look at high blood pressure. You know, we know that high blood pressure and stress go hand in hand, right? We know that things like ulcers and psoriasis and eczema, and we know that those things, we can visibly see in our own experience of them, that stress agitates all of that. Stress makes that stuff more profound. In fact, you know, the studies are much more detailed now. We have a lot of scientific data that tells us that. It's interesting because that is not a new book. In the Flow of Life is not a new book. And at the time he wrote it, I'm trying to remember when it was, late 80s, I think, when that book was first released, he said that 50 to 90%, some researchers believe that 50 to 90% of what ails us is impacted by the amount of stress that we carry. You'll read it and study it when you play in the book yourself. But I want to say that I love that we're willing to look at some of these things in a different way. So here's what I want to say is all of this is good news. You know, if it were true that it's all in your mind, this would be really, really good news. We could quit blaming our parents for bad genes. We could quit blaming our grandkids for bringing their cooties to our house in the flu season. We could just quit blaming in general. You know, this is really good news because just as the founder of this teaching said, Dr. Ernest Holmes said, you have to look at the discordance in order to figure out the direction you want to go. You can't make an affirmation till you know what the problem is. You know what the problem is? You can look for the spiritual principle that seems to be blocked or missing in your life, and then that's where you make your affirmations and you shift your life around by putting your emphasis on what you want to affirm as opposed to what is making you complain and feel uncomfortable. So that whole idea of psychosomatic disorders, I was thinking it's not to suggest that we have any mental disorder. I think that's why people were so offended by that. You know, it's like it came out in a time where, you know, if God forbid you went to a therapist for counseling, people might you risk you're at risk of somebody thinking you're crazy, right? Or it always made me laugh when people would say, you don't want a therapist that's in therapy, but I do. I want to know if I'm getting into therapy. I want to know my therapist is working on his or herself, you know, because we all have that opportunity to move and to grow. So it's not a mental disorder. That was our big fear. That's how it kind of got into. I think that's why it still has a little bit of a vibration to it that we don't like. One of my daughters came to me and said, I've got this or that going on, and I did something to her that I don't even remember. Well, never mind. I won't tell you. Then you might know which daughter it was. She should know better, I'm just going to say. And so I was helping her with some mind-body stuff, and I wasn't telling her, I wasn't therapizing her or, you know, whatever. I wasn't trying to give her that kind of advice. I was just trying to help her see that it's just natural and that there's a choice you can make. And she looked at me and said, don't give me any of that psycho BS. You know, I don't want that. And so what I realized is, actually, it's a really good reminder that sometimes when we complain, we just want somebody to love us, right? We just want mom to listen to us, not help us get better. So it gets in your face when that happens. So it's not a mental disorder, and I think there's a little bit of that left over, but it certainly is an opportunity for us to reorder our thoughts, to put our thinking into a better order. So the stress in the world, listen carefully, those of you who care, the stress in the world is not your fault. It's not your fault. And the amount of stress, you know, it's kind of up to us as to how much we're going to take on in the good work that we try to bring to the world. And so, you know, notice that you're in choice. But don't use this against yourself. You'll be missing the whole point. So I want to bring you up to this place of remembering that scripture where Jesus says, the disciples had come to Jesus and said, but Lord, why was the baby born blind? And the short version of that story is that Jesus then said, you're asking the wrong question. See, that's what we do when we go, why? Why is this happening to me? You're asking the wrong question. Picture in your mind the voice of Jesus in any way you want. Hopefully we'll have a lot of different kinds of voices, sort of like the way you guys beautifully blend your voices together. So we could do that. You know, if we could all hear each other's idea of what the voice of Jesus would sound like. You're asking the wrong question. You guys should sing that in harmony. You'd have to practice, wouldn't you? You can't just do it because I want you to. I think you were right, Fred. It should just be, we should just be doing that. So the answer is, like, why do we blame instead of bless? Why do we blame instead of bless? You know, so Jesus is suggesting that, you know, look, there's this miracle happened. Why do you want to know why he was blind when, voila, now he can see? So there's a whole other piece of this that we're ready to anchor ourselves in a deeper understanding of looking at the right questions. Better than that, there's this illustration, Butterworth covers it in the second chapter, of the time, there's this story where some of the disciples were great fishermen. And they're in the boat and they cast out their nets and they don't catch any fish. And what did Jesus tell them? Cast your net on the other side. And they go to the other side and they cast their net and there's so much fish they can hardly pull it up, right? This is so valuable for us to think about. What does it mean to cast your net on the other side? It means that we need to stop sometimes, to stop that chain of thought, to get out of the why, to get away from the illness, to get our mind off the problem, whatever the problem or the challenge may be, and to get a different view, move to the other side, look in a different direction, shift your consciousness, and do it right away. Stop what you're doing and approach it from a different angle and see if you don't catch the kind of fish you're looking for, whether it is your health, whether it is your finances, whether it is improvement in your relationships. All of it is right there because there is a divine source that is always bubbling. There is the grace of God, the givingness of God that is always washing over us. There is that healing stream of life that we are always able to open ourselves to. Emerson, this is such a fabulous quote. This is why I love Emerson. Emerson said, "Gird yourselves with incessant affirmatives." Gird yourselves with incessant affirmatives. This reminds me of something my beloved husband always says. He says, "Go to church. Tell them to love each other effusively." Right? Those are good words. So be effusive in the way you affirm the goodness and in your life, the grace of God, the way God shows up in your life, the beautiful gifts, the way that you know that you know that you know that you are always sourced, and that divine flow is always moving and streaming through you. If it helps, go back to imagining those pipes with the different directions, and everything's moving and streaming. And as there's that constant movement, we can begin to recognize that way. We can feel it moving around in us. The way I call it, the woolly bumps. Some people call it the God bumps. You know, those moments of pure recognition that something holy has just happened, has occurred within you. I can feel when people are praying for me. Can you feel sometimes when you put in a prayer request? I always say, now take some time this week and just feel, notice when you can feel people praying for you. Because that structure is the way we're envisioning that manifold is absolutely natural in this physical world that we live in. Think of the root structure of a plant. Think of the branches of a tree. Think of the way that I just trimmed my citrus trees. Please don't tell me it's the wrong time of year to do that. It'll be fine, I'm sure. But they get suckers, tomato plants do, right? So right where there shouldn't even be a branch, another branch grows. They're completely full of life, demonstrating to us all the time there's life. So imagine, when you are challenged, when you are experiencing a physical ailment, imagine that you could just feel that movement of the healing stream within you. And if that's a little remote for you, I was thinking of this image. When I was a little girl and I had a cold, my mom would put me to bed and she would rub Vicks VapoRub on my chest. Yeah, that Vicks VapoRub. And so she would rub that on my chest. And then she would go off and say goodnight, turn my light out. And I would lay there and feel that warmth and smell that smell. And you could feel that warmth. It's like it spreads through you. Think of that. Think of that healing stream as a divine salve that spirit itself just rubs our chest with when we're aching or we're congested, and it gets things moving. See, that's why I keep talking about the eck. The eck. The AEC, good flow is to keeping that congestion so that it doesn't create a blockage. ACK, AEC, you got get the way to get rid of that ACK is to focus your mind on the image of assimilation and elimination and circulation, these natural things in the human body that the human body knows how to do intuitively. And so, we know how to fish. We know how to move to a different side of the boat if we're not pulling up out of the waters of life those things that we desire. We know that it only takes a single thought to put us back into that stream. And once we are in that stream with a single thought, that inner warmth can begin to spread and we can feel the divine healing that is in every breath, in every movement, the intelligence in the cells of our body working to bring us back to our well-being. Now, all of this is just a story, right? We create images, we use metaphors, and we tell the parables. These are just images to help us understand the healing stream. But listen to this. Ernest Holmes said, there is a power in us right now that we could unshackle. I love Holmes. There is a power in us right now that we can unshackle. It is the same power that swings the planets in their space and then holds them there. Wow. It's in you. It's in me. And so, of course, there's this healing stream, but here's the thing I want to tell you that's beyond behind the story. Let's say it's behind the story. It's what makes the story relevant. We don't make the healing stream. We don't turn it on and off. We do not even activate it because it is always flowing. All we have to do is move ourselves to the other side of the boat if we're not feeling it, if we are not experiencing that which we desire to experience. It really is in our tendency, our human tendency to see illness and poverty and conflict as problems that need fixing. But as we deepen in this spiritual work, we begin to see things differently. We are less likely to see the world as broken, as a scary place. And we realize that we should not be validating the bad things that we don't want to see in the world. Instead, we need to be blessing those things that we would rather experience. Spend more time looking at what's working. That's where the practice of gratitude is so valuable. So if you see, you find in your life that you are looking for ways to overcome your whatever you're experiencing, whether it's in your body or a relationship, just remember that we do not ever overcome illness. Jesus said, resist not. Two of the most misunderstood words, probably. Resist not that which is an appearance. Jesus is saying, that the congestion takes root in our mind. Butterworth says, Jesus called it resistance. Butterworth called it stress, and I call it ek. Just notice it. Just notice it so that it can be the very tool. It's just information that can redirect your attention. I read this week that there used to be a Chinese custom in the beginning of the 20th century. In the early 1900s, there was this Chinese custom, we should bring it back, where the Chinese people would pay their physician as long as they stayed healthy. Right? I see you've heard this. And when they got sick, they would quit paying the doctor. And so I did some research because I thought that's I need to know that there's something factual behind that. And the reason that happened was because at that time period, in the scientific world of medicine, they were starting to discover those things like hygiene, like just washing your hands could make a difference, right? Where you get your water from and how you treat it. And they learned that the Panama Canal, the experience of building the Panama Canal showed us that we finally figured out that mosquitoes brought disease and mosquitoes were killing people. And so the medical physician was there to educate people, to help people understand. And so I thought, oh, that's perfect. That is perfect because those of us who show up somewhere on a Sunday or listen to a encouraging spiritual message or are willing to watch a good movie and see the spiritual message in the movie or the book we're reading. See, this information is everywhere. It's universal information. But as we are intentional on expanding our spiritual understanding so we can make better use of the machine, why then we are actually just like the Chinese, we are investing ahead in our well-being. We're taking time to study and to learn. We take classes. We gather together to enjoy each other's company. We are investing in our spiritual growth. We are keeping ourselves educated. We are trying out new ideas because there's always new ideas to try out. And we are learning to apply spiritual principle in our lives. It's training so that we learn to quit defaulting to shame and to blame so that we can make higher choices and stand in a way where we can see that which we desire. There is a flow. It is a healing stream. We can use it. I want to close today with this quote from Butterworth. These are such beautiful words. Each of us is a flowering of the universal creative process. Each of us is a flow of wholeness. You are a child of the universe. You do not walk your path alone. The whole universe walks with you. All right, so just take that in. I think it would be appropriate to anchor these words in this powerful experience of prayer. And so at this time, I would like to invite practitioners and ministers to stand and surround the room. Let us be held in your consciousness and your commitment to this community and to spiritual practice. Take a nice deep breath. We just allow the words and the ideas to float through this room and to land wherever they may, always staying open to that special gem, that sliver of truth that is ours. And so in that posture of receiving, I simply recognize the love of God right here in this room. It is a presence. It is a power. It is a force in this universe that indeed is a healing stream. The activity of life. I feel the love of God at the center of my being, and I know it is that bubbling truth, that source of good that sits at the core of every person sitting in this room. It is activated by the sounds of the words of prayer. It awakens us in such a way that our consciousness is open to the movement, to life itself. There is that way in which we soften our hearts and our minds, and it allows us to stretch what's possible in our experience of receiving this grace of God, this goodness, of recognizing that health and wealth and happiness are indeed these divine expressions. And so we become this vessel, and we open ourselves, and we become aware of that streaming grace that is flowing, that is rushing, that is just moving into our lives, and we fill ourselves up with all of this goodness, all of this peace, all of this beauty, all of this truth, that which will sustain us throughout this week and beyond. We have come to the well again, and we stand at this presence of Source itself. And so we fill up. We allow ourselves to imagine greater and greater good, out picturing as the conditions of our life. And so wherever there is any indication of a physical ailment, we know that the power of these words is that which just bursts through any appearance of blockage. We move to the other side of the boat so that we realize with real eyes yet again that right where we are, that goodness is. That as much as we desire our good desires us. And so here in this room, in this presence of truth and the movement of powerful words and the activity of spirit itself, right here there is healing. We stand in that stream and we accept in the same way that Mother would rub our chest and we would feel protected and the warmth and the love. And we just bask in that. For it is the truth of our being. There is only one mind. It is the mind of God, and that mind is our mind now. And in that mind rests infinite possibilities of which we are open this day. I know that there's a healing unfolding. I know that we are open to forgiveness, that we have relationships that are healing. We have finances that are healing and revealing this wholeness, this ample givingness of spirit, because we get out of the way of that flow and we allow ourselves to be used by spirit. And so I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for this renewed awareness, for this quickening we feel, for this healing that is taking place even now. I say thank you, God, and in this pure confidence, in this effusiveness of love, I release these words into the law, and together we say, and so it is.